Amen. Sins of the world were laid upon Him. Amen. And there He died for us. If you would, in your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll begin again in this wonderful book. The next paragraph, we've been trying to go paragraph by paragraph. The next paragraph has about 5 messages in it. And so I'm going to take and preach one of the verses tonight, and then, Lord willing, next Sunday night, preach all of them. But I want to just dwell a little bit on verse 18 tonight. And that some of this will be familiar to you, as many of you who've been in church a while will know that this is preached from the pulpit often. And but it's a good reminder that we ought to be filled with the Spirit. And we ought to be putting ourselves in a position where the Holy Spirit can fill us. And it's something that we ought to be praying for. And so these are things you've heard from the pulpit before, but let's review tonight and look afresh. And got the pulpit a little early. Maybe we'll see if we can get out a little early, give the choir a little time and so forth. Amen? All right. Look at verse 15. Chapter 5, verse 15. Seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves, I mentioned this verse this morning, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again tonight for the opportunity to meet together in your house. We pray tonight you would just bless the reading of your word. Help us, Lord, again to see the importance and the command to be filled with the Spirit. I pray that each of us would strive to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, the book of Ephesians, the first 3 chapters dealing with our wealth in Christ. In fact, those first 3 chapters in Ephesians, Paul is describing for us all the tools that we need in order to live a Christian life that's pleasing to the Lord. So he's told us we have an inheritance in Christ. We have the power from the Lord to live out the Christian life that God intended for us to live. So the first 3 chapters of Ephesians are doctrinal in nature. They're teaching us, again, if a carpenter, when he goes to work, has a tool belt, he has a hammer and he has nails, he has the various things he needs. A Christian also has every tool on their tool belt that they need in order to live out the commands of Christ. When he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he gave the tools whereby to do that. When he said that we should live holy as he is holy, he's given us the tools to do that. And every command that he's given us, he has given us the tools. He's given us the strength, the power, the ability to live out what he tells us to live. In fact, the Bible says to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And we're all striving to do that as Christians, aren't we? I mean, to a degree, each one of us, at different stages of spiritualness, if you would, each of us living out what the Bible teaches us to do. And so we see, again, our wealth in Christ, the first 3 chapters, doctrinal. The last 3 chapters, chapters 4 through 6, is our walk in Christ. Our walk in Christ, or simply the application to the doctrinal of the first 3 chapters. We've covered it. Look at verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamoring and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another. So in these last 3 chapters, he's giving you the practical application that we should apply and do in our own lives with the tools that he's given us in the first 3 chapters. Everything you need in the Christian life to live the way God intended for us to live is given to us at salvation. Everything. Everything we need as a son of God. Now, as a child, a baby, we grow. But as an adopted son, we have all the tools we need. All right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Look again, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I will cover the first part of that verse next Wednesday, Sunday night, Lord willing. But again, we see here a command from God. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. I mentioned to you back, this has been 2 years ago, I read a book by E.M. Bounds. And in the book, he had a section on unction. on unction. That term is found in 1 John, if you want to turn over there real quick. 1 John 2:20. 1 John 2:20. I want you to see where it's found. It's only found once in the Bible, the word unction. But that word was used a lot. If you go back and you read a lot of biographies in the 1800s, you'll see the word unction used a lot. It says there in verse 20, it says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." And you know all things. You say, what does that verse mean? You remember back in John, when Jesus is talking about that He must go away and that He's going to send a Comforter, that He's going to send the Holy Spirit. What is the term He uses? He says, the phrase is, "And He shall lead you into some truth." Doesn't it say all? All right? Who wrote the book of John? John. Who wrote the book of the epistle of John? John. The reference is the same. Look there. It says, "And you know all things." He's talking about the Word of God. The Holy Spirit leading them and showing them all things pertaining to the Word of God. In the context, you can see that. But notice it says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One." An unction. Let me tell you, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we received, as we talked about Wednesday night, we received the Holy Spirit. He now indwells us. He indwells us. You didn't earn that. It was given. Right? Not only were you indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is indwelling you, enlightening you, enabling you to understand the Scriptures as you read them. All right? Remember, we said this Wednesday night. So the Holy Spirit, when you accepted the Lord as your Savior, you believed in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you accepted Him as Savior, the Holy Spirit came and indwelt you, and therefore now enlightens you, enables you to understand and to shed light on the Scriptures. He leads into all truth, talking about the Word of God. The Holy Spirit also, at the time of salvation, sealed you. Sealed you. The Bible says He's the earnest of our salvation, and He seals us until the day of redemption. And just as you take an old vegetables, you put them in a can, you put the wax ring around it, and you seal it, it's sealed. We are sealed. How long? Until the day that Jesus Christ returns. We don't have to worry about losing our salvation. Amen? And let me remind you, those individuals and those religious bodies who believe they can lose their salvation, they are earning their salvation. Because if you believe you can lose it, then you're doing something to keep it. To me, it makes all the sense in the world. And you cannot earn salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So at the time of salvation, you were given the Holy Spirit who comes and indwells you, enabling you and enlightening you to understand the Scripture. Not only that, but He seals you with the Holy Spirit until the day that He returns. Also, there was given to us gifts for the edification of the body of Christ, for the edification of His church. Those also were given to you. Those are not earned. They're not based upon what you do, not based upon how you act. You are given gifts. Let me tell you, though, I believe those gifts can be taken away. Better be careful. Right? Each one of us is being given a gift. That gift should be used. That gift of teaching, whether it's the gift of administration or whatever gift God has given you, you ought to use it. And you ought to use it in the church. A voice, whatever He's given you. Those are all given. I would say those are not conditional. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit filling is conditional. Let me say it again. This is a particular gift of the Spirit or something, the act of the Spirit, that is conditional. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Be ye filled with the Spirit. This word unction is same in comparison to the same word as being filled with the Spirit. It's the separation unto God and the separation and the work of God in our lives. I think the greatest understanding of how the Holy Spirit filling is conditional is in the life of Peter. Peter, we know, was saved. He was chosen an apostle. We know that Peter One time Jesus said to his disciples, he says, "Who do men say that I am?" And some say that you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Isaiah. Some say you're John the Baptist. And Jesus said to them again, "But whom do you say that I am?" Who's the first person to speak up? Peter. And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Your flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven." What was the next statement? The next statement Peter makes, Jesus begins to tell them about his crucifixion and so forth. And Peter said, "That ain't happening." And remember what Jesus said to him? "Get thee behind me, Satan." So here's Peter making this great statement, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And in just a few minutes, Jesus is telling him, "Get behind me, Satan." This feeling of the Spirit is conditional. And the feeling of the Spirit, you can have be filled with the Spirit at one moment, and the next moment, turn around and Jesus be telling you, "Get behind me, Satan." Again, Peter denies Christ three times during his trial and so forth, and this crucifixion. And 50 days later, Peter stands up and preaches, and 3,000 souls get saved. The Bible says he was filled with the Spirit. Boy, what a difference the feeling of the Spirit makes. Let me tell you, that's not just for preachers. Ian Bounds, when he wrote the book, was not just saying, "All right, preachers, here's how you know." He's saying, this is all of us should experience. The feeling of the Spirit. The unction from on high. The unction from that Holy One. Divine unction generates spiritual results that flow from the Gospel. Let me tell you that everything the Holy Spirit of the Lord gives us flows from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I've told you before, and I never forget reading it. I read it in the commentary, and I've heard it, but it made so much sense to me. Because I hear people all the time talking about the deep things of God. And you hear people who think they're spiritually superior, and especially they're Calvinists and other people that way, that you think they're just they've got a touch with God, and they're superior. They talk about the deep things of God and things you can't understand. Let me tell you what the deep things of God are. It's simply understanding the gospel more and more and more and more. It's taking the gospel of salvation, that's one layer. Taking the gospel again, another layer, another layer, another layer, another layer. The deep things of God are understanding the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection more and more and more and more and more. That's the deep things of God. Amen. Don't ever forget that. And the Holy Spirit unction is generated as a result and flows from the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. A lot of preaching and teaching today is a lot of motivation, but little results. You would think of it, the mega churches around the country, that we would see a great outflowing and a great revival happening, and we would see the beer joints shut down and the pornographic stores shut down and all the things that, you know, we'd see a great upheaval. But you know what? There's a lot of motivation going on from the pulpit, but very little unction from the pulpit. I'm talking about myself, preaching and teaching. We need a good old-fashioned Holy Spirit revival in our country today. True unction illumines the Word of God and broadens and enriches the intellect and empowers it to grasp and apprehend the Word of God. That's Ian Bounds' quote. Let me read it again. True unction illumines the Word of God and broaden and enriches the intellect and empowers it to grasp and apprehend the Word of God. In other words, allow the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. When you are filled with the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit is not so you can speak in tongues or some unutterable language. The filling of the Spirit is to enable you that when you sit down and you read your Bible, not only are you illumined, that's by the indwelling, but you also, your intellect is broadened in order that you may be able to comprehend and understand the Word of God. The Word of God. I have it written down, but let me go ahead and tell you the story. Y'all get tired of hearing it. I didn't know that people like Jonathan Sturt existed when I was growing up in church. Some of y'all know who I'm talking about. He preaches our Bible conference every year. Good friend, good preacher friend of mine over at Victor Baptist Church in Weatherford. He's the associate pastor over there. Also taught me in Bible college. And he, again, the smartest Bible man I know, period, hands down. I've never met anybody who not only is smart, but can communicate it. It's okay to be smart, but if you can't communicate it, it does no good. I was in my senior year at Bible college, and I was in one of his classes, and he offhandedly, y'all heard me, some of you have heard this illustration before, he offhandedly said to the class, if somebody here will memorize Psalm 78, I'll take them down to Glen Rose, and he said, Carl Ball's a friend of mine. We'll go down, we'll meet Carl Ball, the creation scientist. We'll have lunch with him. You can spend time with him. I'll feed you lunch, and I'll buy you a book, and a particular book that he wanted to give. And so, anyway, he just kind of offhandedly said it. Well, about a month later, I came back to him and said, I got it memorized. He just laughed. He laughed in class and said, no way. He said, all right, meet me at the church building. And he quoted 72 verses. And so I quoted it to him. He just laughed the whole time I was quoting it to him. I don't think I could do it now, but he just laughed. He did follow through. Amen. And he took me. And on the way down there, I'm telling you, to whatever it is, hour and a half drive, we spent an hour and a half talking about the Word of God. That's all he talked about. You know, we didn't talk about fishing. We didn't talk about golfing. We didn't talk about radios. We talked about the Bible. I said, people like this really exist? I'm not saying anything about people I'd met before, but it was just, I mean, it was all about it. And it wasn't just, he took truths that I already knew, the gospel, and he took the gospel and he just like an onion, and he just took layer after layer after layer, and it got down to layers that were amazing. I'll never forget how I felt as he did that, as he just opened it up. And you heard that verse in there where it says our heart burned within us when we heard Jesus teach the things and so forth. Man, my heart burned. I would tell you that experience to me in that car up there and back, and I told him this, is probably one of the most significant events spiritually in my life, period. Yeah, absolutely. It just opened my eyes to. I don't know if that was the feeling of the Spirit that happened at that moment or whatever the case is, but I just, golly, it was amazing. All he did was just layer the gospel for me. He didn't teach me something out there in left field or right field. It was truths I already knew. It's just layer after layer after layer. That's what the Holy Spirit feeling does. It illuminates us by way of His indwelling, but His feeling takes it to a whole new level. And not only does it illuminate us, but He broadens our intellect in order to allow us to receive greater, greater. I know some of you are going like, preacher, come on. I'm telling you. The Word of God is fantastic. It would only, some of you who've been Christians for 20 years, maybe you've never experienced like I experienced when I went with Brother Stuart that time. I'm telling you, it only takes you one time. And once it happens to you, once you see it, once the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of you, your Bible will read differently. It's amazing how things that I used to read, I can sit down now and every year I can read the same scripture as I read through my Bible. I read the same scripture and something new comes off the pages. That's the Holy Spirit. But the unction of the Spirit, leading us into all truth. Notice it says all. As I saw 1 John, I said, how can he say all there? How can he say, but that's what he said, all truth. All truth. True life-changing, heart-transforming only comes through unction. The sweeping away of hardness and sin in our lives only comes from Holy Spirit filling. Can I say that again? The true sweeping away of the sin and the hardness in our life that we accumulate over the years and over time only comes by way of the Holy Spirit. Again, at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit convicted us of our sins and we saw our need for a Savior and He saved us by faith. It's the same thing in the victorious Christian life when the Holy Spirit convicts us and draws us and shows us our need to be filled. It's the same thing. We are saved by faith and we ought to live by faith. We must have unction if we are to change the course of our churches and our lives. I just believe it. And America. We need a good old-fashioned Holy Spirit revival. These are the same truths with various results. In other words, and I've told you this illustration about D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody said, again, great revivalist of the 1800s, he said, and he, God blessed him in his ministry, and he preached, and people would get saved, but he said after he was filled with the Spirit, by way of some ladies praying for him and an experience in his life, after he was filled with the Spirit, that he would preach the same message. And instead of 10 getting saved, 100 would get saved. It's the difference the Holy Spirit feeling makes in the life of a child of God. Again, I'm not saying, again, remember now, the Holy Spirit indwells us at salvation. He seals us. He gives us gifts. Those are absolutely, they're there. They're never going away. They're there. The feeling of the Holy Spirit is something that ebb and flows. It, up and down in our own lives. So how do we experience that? It's, again, the Holy Spirit. We never get more of the Holy Spirit. It's how much of the Holy Spirit has of us. Okay? So when I say you're filled with the Spirit, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit, more of Him poured into you. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what the Bible identifies. It's when the Holy Spirit has more of you, has more control of your life. One of the illustrations I read, which was really good, was we talked about the triangle, the family triangle, where you have the man and the wife on one side and God at the top, and the closer the man and the wife get to God, the closer their relationship gets to each other. Right? It's a good illustration. Amen. Right? Man and women, men and women tonight, husbands and wives, the closer you get to God, the closer you get to each other. This guy also used a triangle. On one side he put the Word of God, and on one side he put the Spirit of God, and at the bottom, he put the Lordship of Christ. Let me again remind you, you don't make Christ Lord of your life in order to get saved, as some have taught. When you get saved, He is Lord. You don't make Him Lord. He is Lord. What does Lord mean? Lord means boss. Okay? Alright. So, Holy Spirit, His ministry, the Word of God and the Word of God's ministry, and the Lordship of Christ. As you read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit illuminates you, and as long as you understand that Jesus Christ is boss, then everything the Holy Spirit illuminates your heart about, and your soul about, your spirit about, you will obey it. If Jesus is the Lord of your life. That's Holy Spirit feeling. All right, so we're there. We're reading the Bible. He communicates to us some truth and some promise. He communicates to us something in our life, some sin in our life. If Jesus Christ, if you again understand and know that He's the Lord of your life and He's boss, you will automatically yield to Him. By the way, it is your choice. Your choice whether to obey. Now, Jesus is still Lord, and what happens is when we don't obey, He slaps us around. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Right? All right? All right. Unction with the Holy Spirit. True unction, true Holy Spirit feeling will change your life. Will change your life. I believe every Christian at one time or another has been filled. You may not have known it, and from time to time there's various... if you would, levels. In other words, what the Lord, again, has control of your life. Let me read you five conditions that E.M. Bounds put down. He said, unction is not an inalienable gift. It's conditional. It's conditional. Again, the acts of the Holy Spirit, most of them are given to us. The indwellment, the sealing, the gifts, these are given to us. But the Holy Spirit filling is conditional. And then I'm going to say just the opposite, as I always do, and let you be reminded that it's not earned. It's conditional, but it's not earned. You say, how goodness, how's that? All right, here it is. I've used this illustration 1,000 times. I know you'll get bored. All right. Holy Spirit filling is conditional in that you have to put yourself in a position in order the Holy Spirit might fill you. Okay? In other words, the Pharisees and Sadducees had most of the law memorized, the first five books of the Bible. So they read their Bible a lot. They tithed. They fasted. Remember Paul said he said that no man could accuse me outwardly of disobeying the law. Right? But did that make Paul spiritual? No. No, it didn't. Again, listen closely to what I'm saying. And I'm not saying I have it all figured out either. I have yet to find a preacher who has it all figured out. But understand this, that all you're doing is you're putting yourself in a position where the Holy Spirit can fill you. In other words, when you read your Bible, you're not reading your Bible to gain favor with God. You're reading your Bible in order to please Him. Let me say that again. You're not reading your Bible to gain favor. As I said this morning, you don't come out soul winning to gain favor with God. He loves you as much today as He'll love you tomorrow, as He'll love you the next day, no matter what you do. Amen. He loves us unconditionally. I serve Him because I love Him. I also serve Him because I want to. I also serve Him because I want to put myself in a position where He can use me in a greater way. That's what filling is. He's going to use me in a greater way. Okay? All right, so when I get up on Monday mornings and I read my Bible and I try to live that day through the help of the Holy Spirit, that pleasing Him and living a life that's pleasing to Christ. And then at night I try, you know, again, we're not as consistent with our family during the summer, but again, during school year, we're having those family devotions, keeping everything, doing everything, that tithing, witnessing, those five-star Christians, you know, five-star Christian. Tithes and prays and reads their Bible and goes soul winning and, you know, again, lives right and so forth. You understand that those are the basic things we do. We don't do those basic things in order to gain favor with God. We do those things because we want to please Jesus Christ. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Amen? Okay. So I'll do those things. Are doing those things, does that automatically make me spiritual? No, because there are people I've met, drunks, who could quote more Bible than I know. And just reading your Bible doesn't necessarily make you spiritual. It can make you a Pharisee. But what it does is it puts you in a position of loving the Lord on your end, right? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And it puts you in a position where He can bless you. Where He can fill you. That second one I said, He will bless you. You know, sometimes He blesses us even though we don't do the things He wants us to do. Aren't you glad for grace? But the two things, because we love Him, and then for Him to fill us. Filling is conditional. Everyone with me? All right? We're putting ourselves in a position. Again, we accept the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. It's a free gift given to us, and the filling of the Holy Spirit is a free gift given to us. All right? Good stuff. Here are the conditions that E.M. Bounds put down, and they're good. One is unceasing prayer. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. In order to be filled with the Spirit, you must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ can no longer be your ambulance, only when you're in trouble. Right? Jesus Christ can no longer be your Sunday-to-Sunday Savior. It's an all-week thing if you want the filling of the Spirit. Number two, not only should we pray without ceasing, but we should have an impassioned desire for God. Impassioned desire for God. How many of you tonight, don't raise your hand, how many tonight would say, as David said in the Psalms, as the heart or as the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. How many of us tonight can honestly say we have an impassioned desire to know God? It's a tough one, isn't it? Excuse me. That's something what I realized with Brother Stewart. I'm not saying Brother Stewart's perfect, by the way, but I know how I feel about him. But he has a passion to know the God. I mean, oozing out of him. I love just to hang out with him. Just to get some of the droppings off the stuff oozing out of him. A desire to know God. Number three, the understanding of the cost. There is a cost. There is a cost. There is a cost for putting yourself in a position where the Holy Spirit can fill you. And that cost is maybe getting up 10 minutes earlier to read your Bible. That cost is missing other things in order to attend the house of God and be faithful to the house of God and so forth. And I could spend a lot of time there. Number four, the filling of the Holy Spirit happens only when you seek it. It's not something that's going to sneak up on you and find you. Just as you came to God and realized your need for salvation, and you appropriated that by asking, so is the filling of the Spirit. I believe it's something you have to go to God and ask to be given to you. In other words, you sit down and you say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit. Right? Old John R. Rice used to say, if you ask for it, he'll give it to you. Oh, he was referring to anything. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given to you. Boy. Lastly, this is the tough one. Deeming all else loss and failure without it. That's tough. See, preacher, that would mean my life would have to be consumed with it. Yeah. I think this is an area we have absolutely failed in. I believe it was taught a lot more in years past. Maybe we need to bring it out and preach a little harder on it. Do you desire to be filled with the Spirit? Have you asked? Have you gone to the Lord desiring the filling of the Spirit? How do we do that? By prayer, directly asking God for the filling of the Spirit. The greatest illustration of this is the children of Israel, as they illustrate for us New Testament doctrine, New Testament truth, in that when the blood was applied to the doorpost, that was a picture of salvation. They were saved from the world. As they came through the Red Sea, 1 Corinthians tells us that was a picture of baptism. That next level of Christian living. Then when they came to the rivers of Jordan, they shirked at it. Because of their lack of faith, they didn't cross over Jordan. Again, I remind you that the primary interpretation of Canaan land is not heaven. The primary interpretation of Canaan land is the greater Christian life, the Spirit-filled life. And crossing over Jordan is when one dives to self and puts all their hopes and all their wants into the hands of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's at the moment, at the time in which you as a Christian come to the understanding that you cannot live the Christian life. Only the Lord can live it through you. When you come to the place in your life as a Christian, you understand and know that you can't overcome that sin in your life. That God's going to have to do it for you. Been there? It's when you die to self, and you die to your pride, and you die to your ambitions, and you die to everything that you have, and you place it solidly and wholly on the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel like I'm digging a hole here. And once you cross over Jordan, once you land in that land of rest, you're no longer living by sight. See, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, a picture of most Christians who are content to live on this side of Jordan, following the cloud by day and the fire by night, and just constantly needing that communication from God. They need that visual. Whereas when they crossed over Jordan, there was no more cloud, there was no more fire. They had to live by faith. Live by faith. That's the greater Christian life. That's the Spirit-filled life. That's that Holy Spirit unction. When we come to the place where we no longer have to have signs and miracles and wonders from the Lord, but we simply live in by faith, knowing that He'll take care of us and so forth. You say, well, how does this happen? There was a good illustration I read about it. Again, I believe all of us to a degree have allowed the Holy Spirit to have control of our lives. Okay? I've used the illustration about going as our house, you know, that our life is a house. And as we open up that house to the Lord, He comes in, He lives inside of us. Yes, He's there. He's living in us. But many Christians never allow Him to have access to every room. Okay? Right? So they don't. We haven't totally yielded to Him. But from time to time, another door is opened. Another door is opened. And He gets access to another part of our life. That's what I'm talking about with the Spirit of God and the Word of God working together. And we see Christ as boss. And as we do that, we yield another part of our life to Him. We yield another part of our life to Him. We yield another part of our life to Him. As we are filled with the Spirit, we don't have to back all the way back up. One of the commentators illustrated this way. He said, listen, it's kind of like a man who comes into a home and he's a book collector. And he sees on this man's shelf an old book, a valuable book. And he pulls that book out and he shows it to the homeowner. He said, listen, where'd this book come from? Oh, he said, you know, that book's worthless. I thought about throwing it out. He said, well, and the owner says, you can have it. Well, it was missing some pages. It was missing some pages. And so the next day, the owner of the home found some of those missing pages under under the couch. And the next time he saw this man, he said to the man, I have some of the missing pages. If you'll come over and bring that book over and put it back on the shelf, we'll start over. No. What would he say? He'd say, hey, listen, I've got some of those missing pages. Here they are. Here, won't you put them in the book? Same thing in our Christian life. We yield a compartment to Him. We yield a part of our room to Him, another room to Him, another room to Him. And from time to time, we just, again, the missing pages are filling in. Maybe some of y'all got that one. You know, you say, well, preacher, you're running in circles. When I preach on this subject, I feel like I run in circles. But I know absolutely that in my life, I want the filling of the Spirit. I want that unction. I want it. I desire it. I desire it not only because it's a command of God, but because I know the results of it. I've seen it in my own life. I know I have to put myself in a position in order for the Lord to fill me with the Spirit. But I've got to put myself in that position without being prideful and arrogant and so forth. In other words, I'm going to read my Bible and pray every day and grow, not simply to have knowledge, because the Bible says knowledge puffeth up, but in order that I might please Him who loved me and gave His life for me. And as I put myself in that position and allow the Holy Spirit to have more control of my life, and I yield to Him each compartment in my life, then He fills me. And then that filling of the Spirit allows me to understand all truth. The Bible illuminates and broadens my intellect in order that I might understand more and more layers of the gospel and what it is. It empowers me to witness in a greater way than I would without the filling of the Spirit. That unction allows me to teach a Sunday school class in a greater way. Allows me to communicate with the Master's Club, the children in a greater way. Allows me to communicate with my family in a greater way than simply living in the wilderness. The crossing over into Jordan. When Paul said, be ye filled with the Spirit, do you believe that's a command? Did he say it as a command? Yes. Then if we are not filled with the Spirit, are we being disobedient? Yes. And therefore, if we are disobedient to God, shouldn't we be convicted about that as a Christian? I'm looking at all of you. Man, it's just us here tonight. Shouldn't we? Then shouldn't we seek to understand the filling of the Spirit as I've tried to communicate tonight? Shouldn't we seek to desire to have that filling of the Spirit? Maybe we ought to come and pray, Lord, help me to understand what's being spoken tonight, what's being preached. And Lord, I want to be filled. Lord, show me. Fill me with Your Spirit. I believe He will. You say, well, what if it didn't happen the first time? Keep at it. You say, preacher, the Lord will keep hearing you? Yes, He'll keep hearing you. Amen? Well, I know when I was a kid, Dad didn't let me have it the first time. I at least asked once or twice. I might give a little time between, you know. But boy, no, the Bible says we come to Him earnestly. We come to Him petitioning Him. We come to Him, as I said this morning, we come to Him pleading with Him. He'll give us the desires of our hearts. Let's all stand.